Hey, good evening, everyone. It's Mojo Bokojo here. Thursday, January 30th, 2025, about 7:15. I have my friend and brother here from the Marine Corps, Tony Graff. He has agreed to be on the podcast this evening. So, Tony, thanks again. I appreciate your support and all of your interest in wanting to do this with me.
Yeah, no problem.
Tony served 4 years in the Marine Corps from 2006 to 2010. He was obviously active duty. Him and his wife are employed together. He is a videographer for his wife's private court. Private court reporter, apologize. And
Oxford. Well, yeah, I'll get into it later.
Tony is the videographer for the private court reporter for
There
his wife.
you go.
They have 4 kids. He homeschools 2 of the 4. He is originally from Illinois, but not from Chicago. He spent a good portion of his life in Chicago. His parents were separated when he was 2. They did remarry or had a steady partner by the time that Tony was 5. Unfortunately, his stepmom passed away in 2013. So that's Tony's intro. Again, thanks for being here.
Yeah, man.
Let me know if you want to just jump into the questions or if you have anything else that you want to add or anything.
No, I mean, it's all pretty straightforward. I'm sure with some of the questions, we'll elaborate more of the stuff that was introduced. So, yeah,
All
man,
right.
this is your show. Let's let it roll.
All right, brother. All right. So, how was your childhood? What was your childhood like?
I mean, it was, even though, like, technically, separated home, technically you fall under a broken home. I mean, that the definition is parents aren't together. But my parents were, 19, 20 when they got married, 20, turning 20 when they had me. So I mean, they were young back in 87, so they did the best they could, even when they separated and resettled down. Looking back, sure, things could have been done differently, but I mean, like I said, they did the best they could and they made the decisions they made. I turned out fairly okay. I mean, so
Yeah.
I can't complain too much. I mean, I got my wife here that she kind of keeps me, level-headed, grounded, reminds me that just because that's the way it was doesn't mean that's the way it has to be. So, you get that kind of mentality with some of the stuff that I'm sure a lot of us veterans have gone through that I don't think any of us that got out don't question almost everything goes on. I mean, I don't think I have anything. We're all around the same age. I'm turning 38 in March. So, yeah, I'm sure I got the spankings. I got the classic wooden spoon, whatever it may be, but nothing too egregious like, I don't have vivid memories of getting my ass whooped, the people say. So, but yeah, outside of that, I'm technically the only child. When my mom and stepdad, they had my brother, he's 10 years younger than me. And then my dad and stepmom had my sister, who's 13 years younger than me. But
That's
she.
me and my brothers. My
Okay.
one brother's 10 years, and then my other brother's 15.
There you go. And then, well, she had a son already. So my stepbrother, but he's my brother. We're 2 years apart. So, I mean, that kind of helped, transitioning on that end. But yeah, outside of that, yeah, nothing crazy. Like I'm most of my the reason why I said I'm not from Chicago. I mean, everyone thinks I don't. I'm you're from upstate Western New York, right? I
I'm
don't know
not
if.
originally from Buffalo. No, I'm originally from Gainesville, Florida.
Right,
But
but you've been in Buffalo long enough. Do people still associate you being from like Manhattan when you talk to people and they say you're from New York? Like they don't differentiate any other city from New York if they're not from that area or knowledgeable.
they'll say like New York City. Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes, but
Illinois, there's Chicago and nothing else.
that's
No
it.
one knows anything else. So,
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I did live there for like pretty much like elementary, middle school, and then we moved like way upstate, almost like an hour from Wisconsin, you know, when I was high school and whatnot. So that's pretty much where all my whole family is now. So,
And where are you now?
Somerville, South Carolina. So, or Charleston.
Gotcha. Do you miss Chicago or do you miss Illinois at all or?
I mean, my family, but
Yeah.
you know, we visit when we can, they visit when they can. So, you know, especially with the kids now, they try to be more present, I guess you could say, whether
Yeah.
FaceTime, visiting, whatever may have you.
Yeah.
It just snowed here, so I got my fix. I mean, it was a week, so you know, I shoveled once and remembered why I moved. So.
Yeah, dude, I'm so fucking tired of the snow. This winter, I knew this for, I don't know, you know, I don't, I'm not a weatherman or anything like that, so don't get, you know, I'm not trying to say that I can predict the weather or anything, but there was something in my body that was screaming that this winter was gonna be rough here in Buffalo, and so far it's been fucking rough.
Like you felt it, like physically felt it, or you're just like a feel, like you're one of
Like a
those like,
just like a feeling, like a, you know, like intuition or whatever, you know,
yeah.
like I was just like, this winter's gonna be, I have a feeling this winter's gonna be rough. You know, it's gonna be fucking long, it's gonna be cold. I just read a report earlier this morning or this afternoon that we've had a trace of snow in some fashion this whole month of January.
So it's funny you said, when I don't know if it was the year out, because I moved down here in January 2015. So I've been here, that's how long I've been here. So that I want to say 2013 or 14. I don't remember, because when my stepmom passed away, I had just finished my bout of college. I mean, I might bounce around, but you know,
Yeah,
whatever.
no, it's okay. Yeah.
Finished my bout of college there. And when she passed away, it was July. Oh, God, man, I feel bad now. I want to say it was July of 2013 when she actually passed away. Sounds right. My dad had just, like, he was like manual physical labor his whole life, ran. He used to drive the, depending on how you talk to, cement trucks, ready mix trucks,
Oh
whatever you want to call them. Had some stuff, messed up his shoulder. So when she was going through her illness before she passed, he had like no collarbone. So he was like taking care of her, put off of surgery. So stepmom passed away. Dad essentially has one arm. Sister at that point in time, doing her, going through her girl stuff. You know, just mom just passed away. She's, I want to say 13, maybe around that time. So I was like, well, I'm in between. I just finished school. Lease is about up. Do I look for a job out here or do I go home and help? So I went home and helped. And that kind of set my trajectory to where I am today. But the reason why I'm going all there is I can't remember if it was that 2013 winter going into 14 or four. Yeah, it had to be. There was snow on the ground, like no legit, like Thanksgiving, middle of March. I was
Yeah.
like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in the.
Yeah, so I think it was 2014 is when we had the big blizzard here in Buffalo. It was like the polar vortex and all that shit. The nor'easter and it was a polar vortex and it just fucking settled on Buffalo. I would rather go to Afghanistan 100 times than sit through a fucking blizzard. I'd never been through a blizzard because I'm
Oh
from
yeah, I
Florida.
forget you're originally from Florida, yeah.
Yeah, so like I had never experienced that, and I was like, fuck this shit, dude. Fuck this. So I live in a neighborhood where I have a house that's like 5 feet from this window right here. And it was so bad, it was such a whiteout that you couldn't see that house. Now, I had never experienced that, and it was, you know, because the wind is, you know, swirling almost like a hurricane, and you could just hear it. And it was like that for like 2 days straight. And I was like, I don't ever want to go through that shit ever again. I had the kids because I wasn't driving them over to their mom's house, you know, because their mom and I are divorced. And I was like, hey, I was like, there's no way. Like, I'm not, I'm just going to keep the kids, you know?
Yeah, I mean, unless you
So,
got a wheel or something, you're not
yeah, I
going.
was like, but nobody went any. I mean, for
Yeah.
days, nobody went anywhere. I mean, I remember it was a big deal. So I was still working at the VA at this particular point in time. I just left the VA about a year ago.
Okay.
Well, February 12th will be a year that I haven't worked at the VA. And I remember I had to go to work to get my laptop, and they had this truck, so it was a snow plow, but it had this big honking like funnel on the front of it, and then it was drilling down the wall of ice.
That's crazy.
Dude, I was like, fuck this. But anyway, I digress. I apologize.
No, you're good. You're good, man.
Okay, so back to you're
Childhood?
in South Carolina
Yes, now, yeah.
now, right?
Yes.
And so how's South Carolina treating you so far? And you've been there since 2015?
Yep. This will, like, almost to the day, exactly. A little, oh, yeah, 10 years. 10 years been here.
Nice.
Yeah, so South Carolina's been good. I mean, got my wife,
Yeah.
kids,
Yeah.
planting roots. So, I mean, I streamed it well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it
Good.
has its, I've been lots of places, like all states. The only time I've ever left this country, even in the military, was before I enlisted. Now I went to Cancun for like a week when I was 18, bunch of friends.
Yeah.
Out of everywhere I've been, there's not a lot of do down here. I mean, but
Yeah.
good excuse to go and see the rest of this country and world if we get the opportunity. So,
Yeah. Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, but kind of go back. I mean, where do you want me to just kind of go from, like, to timeline it up maybe? Like from.
So your childhood was okay, nothing, not like nothing crazy or anything like that happened to you as a kid, or you know what I mean? Like,
Went to when we moved up. So we left the city when my brother was born, right before I went to high school. So we like went from, south side of Chicago. So if anybody is any kind of history buff, I was literally in the time of Chicago when it was not good and the like worst place you could be. I mean, I was jumped. I mean, stuff like that. Gunshots going off around all the time, So finally we were at a place where my parents could move. So we one of her old friends who she used to work with moved up to where they are now. No name town, farm town, like complete opposite, which was all, for me it was fine. Like I didn't care.
Yeah.
So went, played football, did all right, nothing crazy. I mean, I ended up like when I finished high school, I got asked to go to a D3 school. I think that might be a D2 now. I don't know. It was super small, nothing crazy. But they said I can play football, so I was like, yes. Hey, yeah. What do you want to go to school for? A football? Like I don't care. Whatever.
American studies, that's what you got your degree in.
History, Jim. Let's do.
Yeah.
So, I get there, had awesome time. But what kind of got
So
me?
you had college before you joined the Marine Corps?
Yeah, 1 year.
Nice. Nice.
I was there a year, and I think my GPA when I left that year was like 1.7. So I don't know how much school I did, but I had a
Right.
great. But if anything, it got me ready for barracks life. You know what I mean? So anyway,
Yeah.
one of the guys on the team, he was a reservist, Marine Reserves.
Yeah.
And growing up, like my dad, he didn't have the. He doesn't like talking about it, but it is what it is. He went to boot camp, finished boot camp, went to Pendleton for, I don't remember what his job was that he ended up for. I don't know if he went to Pendleton for MCT
So your
or
dad was a Marine or is a Marine?
yes.
Yeah.
When he got there, they something with his paperwork, they had him had to go back to medical, or they I don't even remember if we had to do stuff when we got there. I don't know. But they Well, there's my kids. They had to take his blood pressure, and it was like sky high, and they kept reassessing. It didn't go down. Long story short, they add septum. He
Wow.
still has, he's had high blood pressure my whole life. So, I mean, it was
Yeah.
a legitimate thing. But he got bitter from it, which is understandable. And it wasn't until, I don't even remember the whole story, so I'm going to bear with me on this, and
That's
I'm not
okay.
trying to get too crazy. But my stepmom's grandfather passed away, and he was in like POW in the Marines and in the Army. Like he did his military career was awesome. Like I couldn't even tell you what he did, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
I just know that he was a POW while he was in the Marine Corps. That's all I knew.
Wow.
So my dad, when he died, because he like just met my stepmom for maybe a few months. They didn't even know each other that long. He found out that they were just gonna bury him. He's like, "Hell no, man! This guy he deserves, like, regardless of anything, he deserves his 21-gun salute at a minimum,
Yeah.
you know."
Yeah.
So he went to the local recruiting station. Long story short, the guys that were there, one of them is still both of our very close friend. Like, staying, I try to stay in contact with as much as I can. So like he. They ended up doing like a softball league, but the whole point I brought it up is he got my dad's, because no one would believe my dad, because, no one really knew he went. Like he just, boom, went, came back, and whatever. So he got the paperwork to prove it, been trying to track down some stuff on that end. But the guy was still in the MEP station when I was going through. So he helped me. He made sure I went to a good, like, office, didn't get dicked around. And but before I get to that, the guy, so I had that growing up, like just being kind of immersed in that, like knew a little bit about it, and plus, Rambo, Predator, all the great movies when we were growing up,
Right.
for it. So finally, I distinctly remember, obviously 9/11 happened when we were in school, so I
Right.
mean that's fresh. And I just remember the dude on my football team kept just, he just always talk about how it was just a great time and doing his like 1 week in even in the reserves. Like he was just saying it was awesome. Like, and he was, I think, a machine gunner or something. So, finally, I just remember like that winter break, I went to my dad. I'm like, "Mom's going to kill me, but I want to do this." And he's like, "All right." So I had to lose 70 pounds in like 6 months. So I
You had
was
to
like,
lose how many?
70.
70?
I
Damn.
did it.
Yeah,
I lived in that recruiting station, man. Like it was, I was prepared for boot camp. Like I say this to everyone and they're like, "You're out of your mind." I loved boot camp. It was awesome for me. I had a great time. So.
I think I had to lose like 30 pounds, because when I went to the recruiter, I remember them weighing me in. And they were like, "You're 260 pounds." So I think I had to lose like 30 pounds. And I was working at McDonald's. I mean, I was working at McDonald's. I was a shift manager at McDonald's, and then I was also doing, I think I was working at my brother's pizza restaurant too. So I was working two jobs. Which, both are fast food, and that's not good for you. So I was eating all that shit all day, every day. But I, yeah, same like you. Like I lost the 30 pounds or however much I had to lose, and that's history, I guess,
That's a, that, I'm not this is legitimate. I so like our last week in boot camp, if I've been a big guy my whole life, like it's how my family is.
Yeah.
I had to get taped like that. I was nervous as fuck because I can say that the only time I have ever made weight in my military career was to ship. I had to be 221 and I was 221 and I went right through MEPS. That was the only time when I tell you, I don't have them around me, but my boot camp picture, like, your family day when you're taking, I weighed like, so for my height, I had to be like 211 was like my max weight or something like that. I was like 215. I had a 33.5-inch waist and like, because when I lose weight, my head and neck shrink if I'm not like lifting or nothing. My neck was like 15, so I was like right at 18. I look like a skeleton. Like, my buddies in boot camp had me sleep because I was freaking. They had me sleep in trash bags, and they were keeping watch, like, to make sure, like, no
Oh,
deer.
yeah.
I was like, they're like, dude, they kill you if they find you like this. I'm like, it's worth it. Staying again, like, I'm done with this, man. I'm ready to get out. But yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Yeah, I when I got out of boot camp, I was 160 pounds.
That's wild. I
Like,
mean, and you probably look like a skeleton. Like,
oh, I 100% did. Like, none of my clothes fit. I had to go out and buy a whole new freaking wardrobe. You know, you get that. We got that week off, or that week. Once you graduated boot camp, there you got that week of boot leave, and then you go to wherever, MCT, right? And I had to go out and buy a whole new wardrobe. Like, nothing fit. My brothers were like, "What the fuck did they do to you?" And I'm like,
I went back to my school because like all the guys were still there, and they're like, "Dude, you're half a man." And I was like, "Yeah, like I'm a Marine now." But yeah, it was good.
So how was it? Like, what made you want to join the Marine Corps?
Well, to be honest, at the time, like I'm not there was like a that and the Army were like my 1A because you know we don't know. I mean, we all have our bias once we get through it all. But before I went in, like obviously I knew everyone. Like I knew I had the sh like I'd be okay if I went to the Marine Corps. But I knew like there was enough info that I knew that there might be better options in the Army. So. Like I went and talked to them, and then I definitely got, and it probably didn't help that my dad was probably talking to the dudes, like if I had to be a guessing man. And they got me. They were like, "Yeah, man, you can go to the Army, man, do your thing. We ain't gonna pressure you. But if you want to be the best, and you know they played that you can go there, you'll be fine, you do all right. They'll probably give you more money." And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, that sounds like I'm 18, 19. That sounds great, man. More money." They're like, "But if you want to be the best and prove you're the best, you got to come over here." I was like, "Okay." So here I am. So,
And so how was so for those who don't know, or for the listening audience, myself and Tony were in the same unit in the Marine Corps, so we're both 2311s. We both served the majority of our time together, like in the same unit, so we knew each other, we worked together, we lived in the same barracks for a while together. Tony and I go back quite a ways.
It's like 20 or almost 20 years, like from day one, like going in. It's crazy.
And you got out in what? 2016?
2010. Oh, no,
2010?
yeah, I got out
So you
in.
got out before I did.
Yeah, I got so I got to Lejeune in 07. That's when I got there. If I remember right, I think you got there in like 09, late 08 maybe. Because you left in 09 to deploy, right? Yeah.
So I served 2007 to 2011.
So did you get out there in 08 then?
Yeah,
Or
like
late?
early part of 08, I
Yeah.
think. I
Okay.
think.
Makes sense.
So both Tony and I are 2311s. The ammo, or the MOS is ammo tech, ammunition technician, to be specific, for
Specialist.
those
Don't forget the specialist, by the way.
specialists. So for those who don't know, I've talked about this in podcasts in the past, but so a 2311 is, they are the guys and girls that issue the ammo. We don't work on weapon systems. We don't clean, well, we do. We clean our own rifles and stuff like that whenever we go out to a rifle range, but we're not an armorer.
Sometimes.
The ammo tech specifically, you know, issue and deal with ammunition of any sort, really. Five, you know, small arms, 7.62. I mean, we worked with it all. So I don't know how much of that we can talk about, but
Did you
this.
so did you was that your first pick? When you like, did you pick it, or were you assigned them a lesson?
So it was kind of an odd situation with me. So
So last.
I remember picking 23 or the 23 field, right? Because you don't get the 2311 until after you graduate boot camp. So I chose the 2300 field, which is, I think it's considered supply.
I don't remember the exact. I don't remember. I don't.
Numbers, but anyway, so I chose 23. I chose to be an ammo tech or whatever. So we'll say I chose to be a 2311. But then I go to boot camp. I graduate boot camp, and I think it was MCT. When we got to MCT, they handed me this folder, and the folder had whatever open contract is 90, 90, 98 or something like that, or whatever an open contract is in the military. And
Terrified.
I was like, hell no, you know? So it was a whole big, I thought, I don't know what was, I didn't know what was going to happen, but it got worked out and I became an ammo tech, went to school and all that stuff.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I was like, you're out of your fucking mind. I'm not going as a open contract. There's no way.
People do, man. I guess you just want to be there, but ugh.
Well, I think a lot of people, you know how recruiters are, man. They're, you
But
know.
I feel like open contract, man, there's something like
Yeah,
you can you there's enough jobs in either branch, you can pick something. Like, you just let the guy or girl go open contract like that.
Yeah. So what, how was your, if you had to, I don't know, put a number on your career in the military, like how was it?
Well, it's hard for me because I look at it two ways. The relation, like what we all miss, all the aspects that everyone misses when they're out,
Yeah.
that aspect, 10.
Yeah.
Okay? Because we all love where, well, I shouldn't say we all love. Most of us probably enjoy where we're at right now. Probably have, people have families or whatever, but if you can take like a week or two and like be like right back there, you probably wouldn't even think twice about it.
Right.
But on the other end of it, probably like a five,
Yeah.
because like for me, I guess it's bitterness because I one of the reasons why I enlisted was to deploy in any
Yep.
form or fashion. Like a lot of people are like, you didn't see combat, you should be grateful. I'm like, okay, but I mean, my job wasn't a combat MOS, so like I tried twice because when I was there, our unit deployed over twice, and I got. The first time I was like an alternate because when I got there in 07 in March,
I thought you were on our deployment roster.
I was. That's the thing.
That's what I
So
thought.
in 07, a bunch of guys left,
Yep.
and I was too fresh. I was like, okay, like that makes zero sense, but all right. So then the second time around, they were like, we need some seniority people here. I was like, so you're going to promote me? I was like,
Yeah.
what? Well, you've just been here, so you know. I was like, oh, thanks, whatever. So sorry. And then, like, I tried not a Mew. I just, on that aspect of it, I got fed up. And then for me, the icing on the cake was, I know you know this man. I don't mean intimately in the intimate way, but like, a very Master Gun Denman was by far probably one of the greatest Marines I've ever been around.
Oh, loved him. Loved him.
The Marines, Marine, like
Yeah.
epitome of a leader. All
Yep.
right.
Yep.
I,
Always eating his Twinkies and shit, too.
you wouldn't know it.
No.
But
No.
anyway, so that point in time, I hurt my knee or something when I, and then it like set me back. And me being a big guy, I was always on the, tape end. I never, like I said, never
Yeah.
made it. So I was out of standards, got back in standards, like busted my ass. At this point, I'm like 3 years in. So all my scores are good. I have the score to get promoted. Everything. The CO at the time, I'm not going to say his name. No, he
I think
was.
I know who you're talking about,
I
but
won't talk bad about the guy. I'm not going to say his name. But anyway, so He wants to come in because he wants to evaluate me on my appearance. All right. So he's like, you got to come. I think at that point in time, I think it was the Chucks. I think I had to wear whatever time of year it was. May have been the Bravos.
Are you talking about like the service greens or whatever? Like the alphas?
No, I didn't. It wasn't full. The only thing I can't remember if I had my long sleeves or short sleeves on. I don't remember.
I got you.
I don't remember. But it was, you know, green trousers, khaki shirt.
Oh yeah, okay. The Charlies.
Yeah. So I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
But regardless, it's like a middle of the week work day.
Right.
I worked in the wire. So for those of you who don't know, real quick, ASP, topside, wire. Wire has all the ammunition. Right, topside had all the documents.
Magazines all the ammunition stored in.
So if you worked in the wire, you got to wear your utilities. And if you worked topside, when we were getting out or when you were getting out, they changed it to uniforms. Or at the time, everyone was in uniform or utilities. Regardless, I'm in my dress uniform. Master Gun sees me, says, what the hell are you doing in your dress uniform? Told him what I told you. He goes, seriously? He knows you're in standards? He's like, you're taping, everything's good. Yep. All right. Wait in my office. Good to go. That's it. I go in there.
Roger that.
Yeah. I know there's two of them, but there are two gunnies in there at the time. So you know who I'm talking about. We're BSing. And all of a sudden, we hear Master Guns chewing the CO's ass out, just like reaming them. And I was like, I don't think that's good. They're like, that's probably not good. Like, okay. So he comes out. He's like, he's not going to change his mind. Just go in there, listen to him. Just remember, you did what you needed to do. I said, all right. So go in. He's like, he gave me his spiel on why he wouldn't do it. I said, all right. Because some time went by, a couple months. And at that point in time, I wasn't like 100% sure to get in or get out. Because everyone's like, dude, just stay in. Go get a different unit. It'll be fine. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And then, so I had reenlistment package going. Because I wanted to do MSG. I'm like, that's a guaranteed way to get the hell out of here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, those of you who don't know, that's security guard.
Guard, great. Right.
So anyway, I'm sitting there, and it was one of those days where it was like a field day, but at the same time, like someone lost their key in the wire, so the whole wire shut. You know, like we're all doing the stupid stuff.
You're all doing the police call in the grass, looking for the freaking key.
You know,
that's in someone's cargo pocket.
It's another day, or it fell out of a little hole in the bag because they're giving us holy bags to hold important keys.
Right.
So we get back, and this is one of those days, and I'm sitting with the guys, and it's most of those guys I'm still friends with today. They're like, you're a dumbass to sign up for this. I'm like, the fuck I am. Went into my room, grabbed my papers, tore them up in front of them, and said, fuck this. Where are we going to school, buddy? And the rest of the year. So,
yeah.
And that's that. That, in a nutshell, that was my Marine Corps experience.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it sucks. It's shitty. You know what I mean? Because I mean, like, you were always good to go in my humble opinion.
No, I appreciate that.
There was you, and there was, I don't know, like, there was probably like 10 people, 10 Marines outside of the group that I deployed with that I knew, like, if anything hit the shit, like if anything hit the fan or if I need it.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm not trying to cut you off, but
yeah.
I know who you're talking about because it's just how it was. Like,
I knew there was a group of Marines, male and female. You know, that if I needed help or if I had, you know, if there was a problem or something like that. Because I picked up Corporal in 2010.
I think you got yours like on your, that's the sad part. Like, because I'm going to tell you the truth. I was so fucking bitter at that point. Like, dudes getting in way after me. Like, I was mad, and it wasn't like I wasn't mad at you. Like you guys,
Yeah.
did what you needed to do. You earned it. Some, I you know, there's always those few that you're like, man, did you earn it? You know,
Yeah.
you've been here for what, 3 days? You know, did you
Right.
really earn it?
Right.
But anyway, it just like the thing that got me the most was watching like all my friends, not like, you know, EAS, like go.
Right.
And
Yeah.
then hoping they come back, like not being there with them, like that sense. And like, I know one, he may have been on that deployment too, I don't know. But one of the guys, he told me that even though he worked at the ASP, like he still, whether it was by choice or not, was on like one or two trips out of the wire through, like, I think at that time they were in, I think they were in Baghdad. I don't even remember. See, it's been so long since we talked about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was like, I was scared shitless. So I was like, I probably would be too, even though you don't, because you don't know. Like, you're just
Oh yeah.
ripping through, man.
And there's no amount of training that they can put you through that's gonna prepare you for Afghanistan or Iraq. When we got to Afghanistan, I'll be straight up with you, Graf. I was scared shitless.
Oh shit. Like you're probably,
Like,
I could
and
imagine like just the mental process. And like, again, it's all conjecture for me, but it's like, I could, like, if you, I'm not trying to cut you off, but like, I
no, you're
could
good, man. This is your story, brother. This is not my story, so
envision for like excitement. Like we'll say this is the States and then when I get back over here, you know, you're there, you know, it's like excited. And then it's like as you're getting closer and you're making your stops, you're kind of like that pucker factor starts coming in. You know,
Yeah.
that's how I, because
Yeah.
I've heard, and the reason why is like I live vicariously through all y'all. Like I've heard so many of my friends tell and just talk about it, you know, and like
Yeah.
the ebbs and flows of it, and just like the up, you know, just all of it, you know.
I mean, I would have loved to been deployed with you, man. And I'm not saying that like trying to blow smoke up your ass or anything like that. Like I really wholeheartedly mean that. You know, your experience and your overall personality would have been, you know, just a cherry on the cake, so to speak, for the deployment to
A
Afghanistan. But
married man, you're gonna make me blush, man. Come on now.
nah, man, you like I said, you and there was, you know, about 10 other people that were always like we didn't like hang out, you know what I mean? But there was
Could. Like that's
right,
how it was.
there was a level of respect.
Yeah. You had your click, like yeah, it's like high school. It really is,
Right,
but
yep,
you
100%.
your clicks, you get your little small circles, and that's what gets you through. Like
Yep.
you know, like the end of the day, like you got your small group in your unit, but if shit hit the fan, like you got your unit. Like that's
Yeah.
the matter. Like yeah, our 2311s were a sick bunch that's still tight. Like
Right.
there, I'm really good friends with people that maybe I overlapped with like maybe a year. You know, like
Yeah.
they're getting out as I was coming in. I'm sure the same's for you, and vice versa, man. It's just how it goes. But you just make those connections because, like you all. I know it's an annoying phrase, but you know what, you enjoy this, embrace the suck, you know?
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
everyone's like, what does that mean? I'm like, you don't know because you have to experience it because it's different for everyone because
Right.
everyone has their own shit that they're smelling or stepping in and all of it, but you're all doing it together. So that's what makes that beautiful, I guess.
Yeah, like the whole hurry up and wait thing, 'cause for like, you know, like you had said that you were on two deployment rosters or whatever. I was on two. And then the second one I actually was able to stay on, and like I fought like the same instance as, or same scenario as yours. Like I joined the Marine Corps because I knew I wanted to deploy. I wanted to go to Iraq or Afghanistan, and I was okay with whatever happened. You know what I mean? So that would like I mean. I got through boot camp. I got through MCT. I hit the fleet. You know, and the next goal was to deploy. And I was I got on that second deployment roster and was able to stay on it. And I mean, there is nothing that I would change about like my military service. And I don't want to speak for you, but like you, even though your military service wasn't as good as you would like it, right?
But yeah.
You've done more than 99.9% of the world's population will ever do.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't change it. I mean,
Right.
because the way I look at it is, and this is everything in life, one different thing, we wouldn't be having this conversation, like almost 100% certainty, you know? So, like, if I'd done one thing different, would I have my kids? Would I have my wife? You know, like, and that's what I think about. Like, I'm like, I'm not like I work really hard not living with regret or anything of that nature, you know. But when I was like, oh, well, you know, what would you change? Would you do something different? I'm like, no, you know, like just I can't. Like you can't because I didn't like. Maybe if I would have met Katie, who was my wife, if I would have met Katie in the military, then maybe I could have said like, oh, maybe I could have done this different or that different, you know. But nah, don't. Not to trip too off topic here, but at the time, and because we talk about this a lot, her best friend, during that time frame when I was there, was married to a Marine, and they would, Katie and her friend would drive up to Lejeune because, you know, whatever base house. I think they had a base house at the time. But from what it sounds like, I don't know. I can't remember for sure. We've talked about it so much, but it would have been like the 29, 20, 2009, 2010 time frame. But they would go to Gus's, and I was like, "There's a high possibility that
That you
we
guys cross paths.
would have crossed paths or did." So I'm like, "But I'm like obvious because she was married at the time, so it was like I don't think anything would have happened. You know, I'm not like." You know, whatever, but I'm like that's still pretty wild. Like,
Yes, small world, man. Small world.
but anyway,
All
so yeah,
right, so
no, wouldn't change anything.
yeah. Marine Corps wasn't what you expected.
I wouldn't say it wasn't what I expected, but it. Enough happened for me to be like, I just couldn't see the light. I mean, so many people were telling me, even guys that stayed in, retired, whatever, they're like, dude, been there, shitty units, you deal with it for like 3, 4 years, you move on. It's almost like a guarantee. And I was just like, I mean, it's just, I have my mindset, man. And I think what really helped is two of the guys that I was with. We ended up going to school together.
Oh,
So one,
cool.
so like one got out in like February of the year I did, and the other one got out like a couple months after. Like he got out as school was starting, so it
Nice.
worked. We went to school up in Connecticut. So that's how that transpired. But so again, like that's another thing too. Like if I change anything, that probably wouldn't have happened. And I had a great time out there. So I mean, so.
So you got it. I'm sorry. You got out, and when did you get out again? I'm sorry.
My EAS was August 2010, but I did the 30 days or whatever, so that
Oh
would have been
yeah.
July
Yeah,
2010.
yeah, yeah. You got out early or whatever.
Yeah,
Early.
what do we call that? I don't even remember. It's been so long.
Terminal leave.
There you go. That's the one.
Yeah. So you were on terminal leave, and then what? So what? When you left the Marine Corps, what did you do after the Marine Corps? Like, how was life after the Marine Corps?
So I guess you could say it was pretty sweet at first because, you know, I went from the Marine Corps being a bachelor in the Marine Corps, to being a bachelor in college again, starting as a freshman. So, because I've had some credits transfer, but if at the same time, like you're, for all better purposes, you're a freshman. So, how old was I? 22, 3. So we lived on their base housing. their campus housing, but it was like the senior section, so there was kind of like mini, weird townhomes. I don't know, Connecticut. Okay. But anyway, so we're in there. So we're freshmen living with the seniors and in classes with all the freshmen. Needless to say, we had a good time.
Yeah.
So we all, I think, we kind of graduated differently. One, he was able to get out, like, he was able to graduate. So we all graduated a year early.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Very nice.
One graduated, like, a year and a half early, almost, because he just was able to get his classes done, because he was the smart one in the group. So
there's always one.
Yeah, and the other one had to do a couple more classes to finish out after.
Yeah.
I was the only one that did a full year early. So, but yeah, so we're there from 2010 to 2013. Got to go to Manhattan once, to Boston a bunch because I met a girl there, and we were dating for I think a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to experience that, and then like I said earlier, when my stepmom passed away. You know, that kind of just brought me back to Illinois. So I was home for, I want to say, well, yeah, a full year, you know, helping out. Mm-hmm. And
and I'm sorry for your loss, by the way.
Well, thanks. I mean, yeah, it's, I still talk about it all the time. Like, so she had, yeah. She played a huge part in my life. Like, she never, I think what made me, like, now respect her is she's one of those few people that just, was who she was, didn't try to sugarcoat anything, was blunt, didn't care what people thought about her, you know, like, I'm going to do what I want to do, you know, you can respect that, especially as you get older, you know, so.
Yeah. And when you have kids, too.
Oh, yeah.
Of your own.
Yeah. That's what actually hurts me the most about it all, because she loved kids, like, just loved, especially, like, the youngins.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's not going to see, she got to see her son's first, so her first grandkid for a very small brief time, and then she missed out on 6, 7, 8 more, you know what I'm saying? So like,
yeah,
like not having, seeing her with that relationship with mine, it sucks, you know.
Yeah.
But I talk about her almost a lot, so they're aware. I got a picture of her, so you know, if they ask, they can remind them. But so anyway, the yeah, so I was home for about a year, and I'll tell you, man, college helped, like, distract, because when school was done, because I went for the safe degree, I went for criminal justice, you know, because everyone's like, oh, yeah, go to criminal justice, it'd be great.
You're a Marine.
Like, anything in that field.
Yeah.
So... And it's boring. Like, I was cop out here for a little while. Sucked. You know, nothing. Like, it's just, you know, it was a couple of years ago. So, like, yeah. Just not a good, like, was not a good time to be a cop, number one.
Yeah.
And, like, number two, it's just, it's not that I didn't have respect for law enforcement individuals before I was one.
Right.
Like, it just went up because it is not a good time. But anyway.
Yeah.
I digress. So, you know, I get out, was applied places, couldn't get jobs, like nothing, applied to departments back home, nothing. I was like, man, this is brutal, man. I was like, what the hell? So I was doing like working at GNC, Dick's Sporting Goods, like men's wear, like anywhere I could get a job, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so... We're only going to use the first name because it's – so bear with me on this.
Okay. No
Our
worries.
Our mutual friend Chris was from your area, had a job out there, and they were a manufacturing company that he worked for. It would be very vague, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So when I was going to school in Connecticut, he used to be like, hey, guys, come out, work for the summer. It's great money. You know, I'm like, dude, that's like 4 hours. I forgot how far. It was like a drive, man, six hours. Actually, I have to not think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you could stay with me. I was like, I don't know, man. That's a lot of time. Like, nah. And I'm like, we're doing school anyways in the summer because we want to get out of here.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, come visit. So, you know, he did. He visited us and stuff. So I'm home, and, you know, we were always in contact. So he was down here in South Carolina. they just moved. And he's like, hey, man, are you trying to get out? Are you trying to get out of there? I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm ready to like do something. He's like, you want a job? I was like, are you going to like, do you think I get one? He's like, well, since I'm the hiring guy, yeah, I think you can get a job. You got an interview though. I was like, cool, man. You know what? And this was like December, you know, 2014. I was like, yeah, let me see what I got. I'll start looking around for places to stay. He's like, dude, got a room. I was like, when can I come down? He's like, yeah. Give me like 2 weeks. So that's why, you know, mid-January, I got down here in 2015. Started working there at the end of the month. And it's, you know, still bounced around after that. Like I hadn't, you know, I did a bunch of other jobs after that. But, you know, it took me a while to finally settle in where I am now. Like I'm not going to go through the whole, you know, 10-year history or whatever it was until I got to where I am now. But it's rough out there, man. Like, I know a lot of guys experience it. You know, it's just, I think the biggest thing for me was the emptiness that you're trying to fill. Like, you don't realize what it is, and that's the problem. Like, the ones that had the plan, like my buddy that I went to school with, he's not 100% on his plan, but he's like 95% there. He's in the field, but he's not doing the exact job that he thought he wanted to do. But he's okay with that because it's working for him. And he knows he can probably still get there. But for a lot of us, man, like, we ain't doing what we thought we wanted to be doing, number one. Like, when I enlisted, I thought I was going to do 20 years. Like, when that was my plan. Like, there was no other plan. There was day one at the office. I'm like, I'm retiring. Like, this is just... 40 years old or whatever it is, like, you're figuring it out, man. And then I'm gone, and it's like, and like the not doing stuff or half of what I wanted to do while I was in, you know, that's there. I mean, I debated so many times going back, like so many. That's why I did, I was the inactive reserves in 2013, because there was a 2311 spot. And I was like, okay. Like then I walked and talked to him. He's like, dude, you're in standards pretty much. Like, I think I was like, I was taping. I was still in good shape at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you're just going to have to, whenever they do their PFTs or whatever, you're just going to have to run once you have a current score. But you're good until 2014 when you're end of contract. So you can come and go as you please. They have like no commitment whatsoever. So he's like, try it out. I was like, all right.
Wow.
I hated it, man. I hate it. Like, I want to tell this. If anyone's listening to this, okay, I want to look right in the camera. If you are getting out and you think you want to do inactive reserves to feel it out, go right away. If you take any time off from the day you leave the service, like active duty, to get to inactive reserves, you aren't going to do it, man. I'm telling you. Because you get – those dudes are nasty, man. It's so, so bad. Like, I was just – and the thing was, too, like, looking back, I had the perfect job. My job was done by a civilian. I had no oversight. Like, and this, and it was, I'm sorry, it wasn't done by a civilian. It was done by the active duty element. The only person I had to answer to was a Master Guns and a SIWO that I never saw.
Yeah.
That was, I just had to show up right in the freaking cars because I was the ammo guy. Like, that was it, man. Like, it was cush. Like, I had nothing. I could have just shown up, said hey, and like left it. No one would have known. But that's why I didn't do it, man, because I'm like, you want that structure. Like, that's part of why you're doing it, man. Like, that's how I was. Why I was okay in the military. I can follow orders. I'm coachable. You tell me what to do, I'm going to do it. Like, I thrive. Right. That's why I thrive, because it was so easy for me, man. Like, I was like, let's do this. But that doesn't translate out here. The reason why it doesn't translate out here, it's because these civilian jobs or wherever, they don't have that. Unless you find someone that is running a business that was probably in the military, you're not going to find that, because they just don't know how to do that. Like, it's not there. Like, unless you know what I'm saying? It's not there.
Well, so I think that is a lot of it. And I also think that people aren't loyal.
No. Nope.
You know, there's no... They'll sell you up the river.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. If it benefits them and their agenda, you could be, you know, you could think you're best friends with somebody, and as soon as it becomes, you know, apparent that, you know, they'll make out better than you, It's done.
Yeah.
But
I saw that in the. So that's. I'm not saying that's why I left the police department. There's a lot of reasons why I left. But
yeah.
I saw that. And the thing that was irritating to me is that was the only job that was close to what,
Yeah.
the life is like.
Yeah.
But the problem there was you either, it was either you're one or the other. You're either the loyal squad, the way they did teams, this way they did it out here. Like, that's who you got. Or you are going to burn anyone in your path to go where you want to go. Then there was no in between, man.
Right.
It was just like, nah, man, I'm good. I'm not, I
Yeah.
don't want to live on edge when I'm already live. Like, the job enough. Just like getting in the car and driving around doing your job is enough to be on edge. And then having to worry about your back on a different aspect of it, it's like, nah, man, I'm good.
Yeah, that's been a constant struggle for me is like figuring out. I mean, I have a hard time trusting people in general.
Yeah.
But have like trusting people now after the Marine Corps is extremely difficult. And that's like one of my biggest hurdles, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, but like I have an extremely hard time trusting people.
Well, it's a vulnerability too, but and it's hard
Yeah.
to be vulnerable around someone either you don't know
Right.
or like you it, the difference is in this way because and I bet you this I like to see something that shows that feeling before and after the military
Yeah.
because the reason why is I'm pretty sure we were a lot more susceptible to it before and then because of the life that we all lived while we're in and the connections and brotherhood and tightness you get like you forge
Yep.
that connection and loyalty and stuff like it's there or it's there or you're dead essentially it's what they pound in us at least in the Marine Corps and I try to tell that to people when I talk now I was like I can assume it's like that in other branches but I can only speak upon what my experience was and where I was but I always say this and it's cheesy or whatever you want to call it that's why the Marine Corps is the only branch you become a Marine
Right.
you earn it and it's that's why that we are the way we are
Right.
you don't join you join the army you join the navy you join but you become and it's like it's not even trying to say it it's just how it is
Right.
so and that's why like people can pick us out man no matter what you look like there's just something about all of us that I've no one I met they're like oh like because out here you can have like veteran plates
Yeah.
and they'll see it and kind of like you veteran? I was like, yeah. Marine? Yeah.
Get
I was in the army. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Nice.
on
Cool, man.
my level.
Yeah, about it. Cool. Like, whatever, dude. The only, like, I'm not trying to, I'm being silly or whatever. But, the way I look at it is, we're all whatever, but I will always have more respect for people that did deploy and do stuff because that's something I didn't do while I was in. So, and like my father-in-law, he was a CB in Vietnam. So
Oh,
like,
wow.
yeah. So that has been so cool to have. Like just but like I was talking to my wife, and he never, ever talked about anything besides they barely knew that he was like they knew he was in the Navy and that he was in Vietnam. That was about it. He didn't say anything until I came in the picture. Like when
And
he.
that's how it is for those guys. That era, that genre, or I'm not genre, but that era of veteran, like the Vietnam era and all that, like those guys don't talk about it, man.
Like
And
not.
I don't I think if they were to talk about it,
Yeah, 100%.
it would be, don't know if it'd be better for them
Oh, no, it would. Trust me. I can.
in a sense.
It's probably too late now, and I'm not trying to cut you off, but so think about it. He was in Vietnam in the 60s, 70s. I forgot when he actually was, but he was there when it was hot. Okay. He didn't talk about it for about 40, 50, like decades. That festers, man. And he,
Yeah.
has problems. Like, I mean, it's no secret. Like, I'm not going to talk bad about the man. But I always say it to her. I'm like, a lot of the issues he has is because he just
Won't
never.
talk about it or wouldn't talk about it. Right.
Yeah. And like, we'll be sitting outside, and he just out of nowhere, he'd be like, oh, this one time I was doing this, and boom. I was like, oh my God, that's insane, dude.
Yeah.
Crazy. Like, oh my
And
God.
think about that too. And that's the whole reason why I started this podcast was to hopefully convey to people that it's okay to talk about this stuff. You know? And you don't have to come on a podcast to talk about it.
No.
But just talking about it with a therapist, with a trained professional, or even a friend, like a someone that you consider like your best friend or a close friend, like even, and you don't have to get like, in the nitty-gritty with it and the gory details of it, but like I think that, to agree with what you said, but I do think that talking about it helps,
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't want to take away from your story, but like when I got out of the Marine Corps, I don't know, 6 or 7 years without, I didn't want shit to do with the military. I didn't want shit to do with the government. I
I don't
didn't,
government still.
I wanted to be left the fuck alone, you
Yeah.
know? And
Did you
some
have
shit.
Sorry, did something like, I'm again, I'm not trying, did something make you that way, or is it just, this is how it was for you?
That's just how it was for me. And then, so I was married for about 6.5 years. I don't know if you ever met.
I did, because you were married when we were in, so I would
Yeah,
assume the same person,
did you
or what?
remember? Did you meet ever meet my kids? They were tiny, I think, when you would have met them. Yeah.
When were they born? What year?
Oh, Kenley was born 2009,
And yes.
and Hayden was born 2008.
Then yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure you brought them around. So,
Yeah.
I
We had to have been. Anyway,
yeah.
sorry.
No, you're good.
But we went through a divorce, obviously. And I think one of my friends shared this on the last podcast, Craig. He talked about like not being a statistic. And that was like one of my biggest things, like getting a divorce, like you're just another statistic. You know what I mean? And I mean, I wasn't a good husband. I was a shitty husband. I'll be honest and straight up with you, with the people listening and all that shit. But I did like that was one thing. That was another goal of mine was to have a family. But anyway, so I got out. We got divorced a couple years after I got out. I think we've been divorced maybe like 10 years now, 12 years, something like that. So we've been divorced a while. We co-parent pretty. I mean, I'd like to think we co-parent pretty well.
Hey man, that's something like that. I'm telling you right now, like my parents didn't, and my
Yeah.
wife and her ex do, and it's weird for me because I'm like, I didn't know that that's how it could be done.
Right, yeah.
So
And that's.
like some personal stuff on my end that I gotta get like have had to get used to because I'm like, that's weird, but like.
Yeah.
In the benefits now, and then like knowing how it's going to be for our daughter, like in the long run, like it's dude, kudos, man, kudos, you can make it work that way.
Yeah. I mean, we try and I can wholeheartedly, I feel like I can say that like we do co-parent very well. But I went through a divorce, and when we started going through the divorce, that's kind of about the time that I started doing like mental like counseling and stuff like that. And she told me she wanted a divorce, and I went out to my car, and I got in my car, and I remember getting in my car, and I wanted to just drive my car into a fucking tree. And I called my brother Shane, and I think I called my other brother Tony. My brother's name, I have a brother that's named Tony as well.
Good name, man. Yes.
Yeah, Tony's pretty popular.
Yeah, right.
But
Especially.
I called my brother Shane, and the first thing out of his mouth was, "Don't do anything stupid.
That's probably what I would say.
You know, don't hurt yourself. You know, don't hurt her, or you know, whatever." And like at that point, I was like, I need help. Like, I need to talk to somebody. You know what I mean? Because I'm gonna bury this shit down, and if it doesn't kill me now, it's gonna eventually kill me, you know? And I come from a pretty jacked up family, I'll say. And I don't want to say too much because, again, this is not my story, this is your story, so I don't want to take away from your story. But I'll do an episode just about like how I was raised and all that stuff, kind of same questions that I'm asking you. But I mean, I tell you what, man, for everything that has happened in my life, and just, you know, the going through a divorce, and you know, being a single parent, and you know, whatever, I'm so thankful that I reached out and got help. And I mean, I still go to counseling today.
That's good.
Like, you know, it ebbs and flows. Like, I'll be good for, I don't know, a year or two, and then I'm not good for a while, you know? But I forget where I was going with that. Anyway, I guess just like it, you know, I think that if people knew they had a safe space to talk about stuff like this, that I think a lot of, especially veterans, even Vietnam era veterans, I feel like they would have a better outlook on life. You know what I mean? 'Cause I think that they would see that they're, and that, again, that's the goal of this podcast, is to hopefully help people realize that they're not alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. So we talked about earlier, like I got diagnosed from the VA with depression. So for me, I was always like, nah, man, I'm not fucking depressed, dude. No way, dude. I was like, yeah, you are. Nah, man. I know people. That's not me. So she goes, and I'll never forget this. One day she goes, all right, mind if I ask you some questions? I was like, now, no, but I probably will. She's like, guess what? I'm like, says I'm depressed, doesn't it? She's like, oh yeah. I said, all right. So this was a few years back. So I went to the VA and it's there, So I got saw someone, talked to him, helped me out with a lot of stuff. And so for me, like they linked, so I went through like a third party because everyone's like, I want to say this, like, I don't have any, like, I'm 60% rated. I'm not saying I don't deserve it, but I know people that are way off, well off, or I'm not saying this right. Went through some more crap than me that probably have a lower rating or deserve more. I got probably the only great advice I got when I was EASing was, his moniker in our unit was trash. Nicknames in the military. You know what I'm talking about. So well, I said that. So he's like, dude, because he got out like well before us, a little while before me. He's like, when you're EASing, just submit a package. Just and after that's how he phrased it. But he's like, tell him you want them to go head to toe, examine everything. So if they find something, then they're responsible for it. It's like if you had nothing wrong with you before you went in, and anything's wrong with you went out, in some form or fashion, they're gonna have to like, take care of you because you got messed up while you're in. I said, okay, whatever. It's part of the checking out, fine. That's when they found my like they've tic-tac stuff like your knees or ankle, your wrists or whatever, like that kind of stuff. But with our field, like. No, I didn't, wasn't in combat, but we're moving like the phrase was small arms make big arms. Like you're moving all the boxes, pallets, everything, man. And you're the cranes, man. I mean, whatever it is, you're moving it, man. You have a little shitty pallet jack.
And those fucking ammunition boxes were heavy as
Yeah.
shit.
The 1 to 2 forklifts that work, you know,
Yeah.
shit's gotta get done.
Yeah.
Whatever, right? So the only like significant thing I had was my lower back, which I know that's the infamous injury, but I had like actually like inflamed discs or whatever, and I still do. I mean,
Yeah, I have two bulging discs. I
yeah,
have Were you
that's
diagnosed with degenerative disc disease?
no, and thankfully I have, which I was nervous about because my dad has a lot of issues like that. Mine's arthritis, so I guess I got lucky in some form or fashion, however it decided to do its thing. But they're saying my depression, the third party said my depression is derivative from the pain, which I could see how they went with that. So it got me like a 10% or whatever. But it's not, it is and it isn't from that. Like it's part of it, I guess you could say. So that's how they found the gray area there. But, you know, man, like, I couldn't figure out what to do because there's a lot of things probably from my past that even before the military, I think, like, if anything, if the best way to describe it is however you are before you go in, you're either going to get better or worse in that aspect throughout your time. So if you have demons, if you may, or shit that happened to you, whether you're aware of it or not, it's going to manifest or become more as you go through. Like, it's just how it is. Like,
I would
trauma's
agree.
trauma's trauma. Like, however you, whatever it is, it's what it is. So for whatever it was with me, you know, I'm sure, like I said, coming from a broken home, there's probably shit there that I'm not aware of that's there, you know? So like it just amplified over the years. And, you know, I was being, not to quote you or whatever, but I was being not the best husband or father I could have been. And that's kind of what she said. She's like, "You're here, but you're not here. You need to get that fixed." She's like, "I'm saying I'm going to do anything, but if this shit doesn't change, I don't know what could happen." I was like, "Yeah, that's enough for me." Boom, like I went there. I've tried going back, but it's like not now they ask me, it's like, "Well, did you deploy?" I was like, "No." And then they're like, "What? I don't know what's wrong with you." It's like, "Thanks, bro." Like that's, you know, that's when you get all these VA claims. Like, are you a therapist or are you just here for, like, you only have one specialty in therapy? Like, whatever, man. I found out, like, to comment on what you're saying though, just talking about it, like, I think it's weird too, because like technically we're like millennials, we're supposed to be like the creme de la creme of the two generations around it, you know? And the only thing I will say is the generations before us, like men, aren't supposed to talk about shit. You're supposed to deal with it and die at 47 from a massive heart attack, you know, or whatever it is, right? And they're like, "Why are men dying so young?" I'm like, that's probably fucking why. Like the stress just manifesting itself, and people don't realize, like, you don't have to have a shitty diet to have a heart attack. You can literally just die from stress. It's out there. Like, I'm not a medical person, but there's medical evidence that supports this, man. So it's
I
like,
was just about to say that. I was
oh,
just
no.
about to say that.
Like, I have my own personal, like, you know, government views, pharma views, whatever. And I think a lot of that stems from just the shit while we were in. Like, you don't get to question anything. It's like, do this or do this. So you don't have a choice. And then the more you're in, you're more like, I kind of want to have that choice, you know? So now I like question a lot of shit. Do thankfully my wife is like research queen because she was a nurse for years. So like we like before anyone starts commenting or whatever, we're not like anti whatever. I mean, we have our own beliefs, but we do what we need to on maybe a more natural end first. And then if we need the resources out there through modern science, then so be it, you know? But we're gonna do our way and see how it works for us. And then go from there. And that's how it should be. That's the point of being American, man. People just lose this. I'm going on a super tangent. But anyway,
No, you do
just
you, buddy.
like you do your life. Like it's your life at the end of the day. Like to comment on what you're saying, like anyone who you need to fix yourself, like you have to fix yourself before you can address anything else. So if you're a husband and a father, whatever, and you're broken, you gotta work on yourself and fix yourself before you can be the dad you need to be for your son or daughter, the husband you need to be for your wife, whatever it is, whatever you believe. But you gotta be fixed or fixing to be beneficial in your little circle, your little life, home, whatever it is. Even if you're single, like you gotta do. So you can't just, you know, be, you know, you gotta work, you gotta do something.
Right.
If you want to be the best you can in what you're doing, you know, you gotta fix yourself. However that may be, find some friends. Join, if you're a religious person, go to church. Like we believe in God. We're Christian. We go to church. Mm-hmm. That's helped me. You know, all these big name people. Like I know a good influence for you is the Sean Ryan. You know, those guys, Tony Robb, all those dudes. The common denominator, Joe Rogan, who some people don't even know what he believes, and he plays that perfectly. I'm going to tell you right now, he is great at it. But even like those guys say, believing in something above yourself has benefits.
Yep.
When enough people say something that, like, it's worth looking into.
Right, right. It's got to be – there's got to be a sparkle of truth in this.
Yeah, it's not – I think, you know, the big thing is it's not just you. And I think a lot of those people, when you're in those holes, you feel like it's just you.
Right.
So if you can look and see that it's not just you – you know, that's a big step. So,
and a lot of people. Oh no, you're good, man. You're good. No. Like I said, this is your story. I don't wanna like sabotage it or anything.
Oh, you're good. I do better in conversation, anyways. I can't, but I'd like to like not just be, you know, all about me. That's not how I am. So,
I think that, yeah, I mean, that was the whole reason why. One of the reasons why I joined the Marine Corps was to be a part of something bigger than myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there was definitely, I mean, years of struggle when I got out, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I still struggle, you know? Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, most days are better, you know, are good, you know, but there are, like I've said before, like there are days where like I wake up in the morning and I'm like, fuck, dude, like I don't want to do this shit. You know, I don't want to go to work.
But now now you got the tools in your toolbox to deal with it.
Right. Yep. You got it.
You know, that's all it is, man. You gotta get those tools to get there. Like I'm saying, like, hey, on paper, you know, self-business, you know, business owner, small business owner with my wife, you know, it's great. Like we work from home, and I say work from home, but we go play, like we go to jobs, you know, whatever it is. But you know,
so hold on real quick. Do you want to talk about that? Like, do you want to talk about like what your life is like, what's going on in your life right now?
Yeah, man, that's fine. So, a couple years ago, this is what her mom's been doing since college. It's, you know, everyone knows what a court reporter is, but not everyone knows what, like, there's more to it. So
what they do.
Right. So whatever.
I couldn't tell you what a court reporter does. So
everyone enlighten me. One. Like, so what everyone usually thinks is you got that little old lady in the courtroom hammering down on a machine or something.
The stenographer.
Yeah, so that's what they're like. They're hammering down on something, you know, and they're like, can you read that back, man? And then she's like, well, get back, you know, whatever. So now I am aware of this. There's more to it than just that. So what my wife does is it's a voice one. So instead of typing, she has a mask that she puts over her mouth like this, and she's talking into a software program.
Oh,
that's pretty much typing it on the screen for her. And then, you know, you have to do back end work to make sure it's all right. There's a lot to it. Like, there's a school for it and everything.
Yeah.
So her mom's been doing it. And then a few years back, like, my wife's been bouncing around in the nursing field. You know, COVID, a lot of things happen to people making decisions and being forced to do stuff, whatever it is. We're not talking about it. We lived it. We know it. Moving forward, right?
Right.
So finally, it just cracked me up. She's talking with her mom. Her mom been slowly pushing to try to get her to do it, because at the end of the day, her mom's been running this business by herself, and I feel like she wanted to see it keep going, you know, like kind of pass it down.
Oh, yeah.
So finally one day, I don't even remember how it happened, but her mom's like, yeah, I made this much money this year. And Katie goes, you know what? I think I might be interested now.
Yeah.
Fast forward, we've been doing about two and a half years now. So she's almost fully taken over. Like we renamed it, rebranded, we're running it. Her mom's like kind of retiring, like she's shrinking down her work. So what I do on the end is I'm the legal videographer. So what that means is, let me back up just a second before I get there. So we don't go in courtrooms. We do like depositions of like car accidents, civil suits, stuff like that. Where they don't have to go to a court. They could go to court. It's more so lawsuit based. It's kind of what we deal with, not like criminal court stuff, just pure, mostly civil stuff like that. So where I come in is, if they want it videoed, then I'm recording the deposition and like Katie or another reporter is there doing the actual reporting. So, and I'm just capturing it all with like a camera and microphone sound and all that stuff. This way, if they do go to jury, because all the stuff we do is before jury trial. So if they decide to go to jury trial, then they can present all this evidence to the jury without actually having to bring these witnesses back in to go back on the stand or whatever. So, and if it's recorded, they can watch it and they can see the person. So, and that's that. And we're doing very well. We decided to pull the kids out this school year. So technically we have four kids. So she had two when I met her. The oldest, who is now 18, technically an adopted nephew. So we consider him our son. Like we've raised him. Like I jumped in, 10 years ago. So he was about nine. And then her daughter, our daughter and my stepdaughter is nine. So I'd like, because I met Katie when she was 6 months old. So I mean, I've been there. I missed the first 6 months of your life, but you've known me your whole life.
Yeah,
And then
your
Archie,
dad.
yeah. And then, well, I mean, her dad, like very, they do the 50-50 co-parenting and stuff. So, and then our boys are nine and, or sorry, 6 and 3. So we homeschool the 9 and 6-year-old.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what set me off. Like, and I'm not trying to be what I, like if the community's small, if there's any other dads out there that homeschool, I feel you, I get it, and I know. So what I mean by that is it's a woman's world. Like, how in the Marine Corps, like the female Marines are like the less than 1% of the 1%.
Yeah.
That's dads that homeschool, man. I'm not even trying to be funny. And
I believe you.
the thing that's that, like, I love my kids and it's great. I mean, it's been stressful, don't get me wrong, but the reverse effect is like I can't go to these functions and be like, oh hey, Cindy, do you want you and your kids to come over? Like, is that cool? Like, no, it's not cool. No one's gonna do that. Like, whatever, man. So, that's made it challenging. But when it first started, like there was that, my wife called it, and I joked about it, but then she's like, no, I'm not joking. It's serious. And she explained why, like she used that. There was like that, women get like postpartum depression. And she's like, you sound like you're being like postpartum. I was like, that doesn't make sense. Like the kids are here. Like that doesn't. So I'm like, I know dads can get it when the kids are born. Like I've heard of that, She was like, think about it. I'm like, well, what is it? I'm like, I don't know what this means. She's like, really, in a nutshell, it's you get an like you can't rationalize that now you're responsible for another human being. And you're having problems dealing with that, but you don't realize that's what it is. She's like, you're responsible for them now, like in every aspect of their lives. And I was like, yeah, that didn't think about that one,
When you put it that way.
I don't want to ruin my kids, but now I'm really gonna ruin, Oh great, So that bothered me for a long time, So, and then I know a big topic of discussion right now is with guys is testosterone. I have my own personal beliefs on it, like why we have such low numbers. Like there's a lot of stuff out there to back me back what I would think and say, because I've looked into it. But like, regardless of your personal or political beliefs, you know, everyone knows RFK Jr. is running for thing. A lot of our issues stem from the stuff that we've consumed over decades. Like, mm-hmm. the numbers and information's out there. And I tell people, if you don't want to believe it or know it, you're just choosing to be ignorant about something. Like, you either don't want to be proven wrong, you don't want people to be right, or you just don't want to change your ways. Like, mm-hmm. whatever it is, like, I don't understand why people are so, like, anti-everything. So, whatever, yeah. regardless. So, like, I wanted to get checked out for everything because I'm like, I like to know what's wrong, and I like to try to assess and, you know, okay, this is wrong. Let's go after it, you know. Let's try to fix it, like, fix part of the fix yourself type thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I just actually got some stuff back today. Like, my test is, like, super low and all these things. And I'm like, well, that explains a lot of stuff, you know. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm trying to do it a more natural way. And a lot of people are like, eh, you know, but if that's a way to do it, why not try that way? That's how I feel, you know, like, I did try the medicinal way. Like, I was doing hormone replacement therapy over the summer, mm-hmm. and it fucked me up, like, not a good way.
Like, how so? If you don't mind talking about it.
So, right now my numbers are about the same or a hair lower than when I started back in May. Because and that's why I was okay stopping, because they, like, everywhere says your body's just gonna go back to where it's would be.
Right. Whatever the baseline was.
Right. Whatever your baseline was, it'll be there, or it might go a hair lower. Like, it's not like you're gonna wipe yourself out or something. It's okay. Right. So when I first took it, you know, the numbers were going up. I was feeling great. Sleep was there. Clarity, man, I felt great. Like, mentally felt great. The problem was, is the one I was using, they didn't put me on any estrogen controlling things. So my estrogen skyrocketed as well. So, like, I ballooned. Like, I got to a point where I was like 360. Like, I was biggest I've ever been in my life because I was retaining so much water. My wife was terrified. This was like June.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, June into July. So, like, a month or two.
Damn. In a month or two that happened?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
I'm like, something's not right, man. Like, I shouldn't be telling these people what I need to do. Like, you should be doing. Like, I was like super And I know it's like one place. And I'm like, so that's why I stopped. Because I'm like, I'm going to stop for a while. And then, like, around this time, I was going to look for another, like, company that seemed to be better with their shit. And then my wife always is like, well, why don't you just try, like, here, talk to, you know, the natural people. And I was like, I don't know. I'm like, all right, fine, let's do it. It doesn't hurt, you know, whatever. You just other stuff, right? And there's a lot of natural stuff to raise your testosterone too. So I was like, all right, you know, whatever. So that's where I'm at right now. But, like, my estrogen is way back down. So that's great, you know. And I just got done. I actually had a consultation yesterday for my lab work. And, like, one of the things they suggested was, like, Tongkat Ali, I think is how you pronounce it. And that's, like, one of the main things that people use for, like, replenishing. And I come to find out that my body and this is where it gets tricky. So if anyone's, like, thinking about it or already doing it, so they probably know about this. There's, like, three levels of testosterone in your body. Your total testosterone, your free testosterone, and I'm going to come up here. And your bound testosterone. So you can have a total number, but the other two are really what affect your levels, your free and your bound.
Okay.
So if it's bound, then it doesn't matter how much testosterone you have because it's all locked up, you know?
Okay.
And your free is kind of like the way she described it is like kind of just like, that's what's kind of like the percentage. I think it's a percentage based, if I remember right. Yeah. So, like, for me, out of all my testosterone, like 28% is free. So, yeah. So, like, these are these things. And luckily, the lady that we're working with, she knows, like, her specialty is, like, your body. Like, she's went to school for this stuff, right? So, and she has her medical degrees or whatever. So I'm going that route, you know, and if it don't work, I know there's something else out there that can help, but I'm going to exhaust this way and then Because when I tried it the other way, I'm like, I didn't like that.
Right.
I didn't like that so much. So, but yeah, I've been doing some supplements now, and I've noticed differences. So, guys that are out there, they might be curious if you never talked about it. A lot of signs for guys, especially with depression, is your sleep. I'm not trying to sound silly or whatever, but luckily for me, my sex drive wasn't affected, but that's like a big one for dudes. And I think it's something with the testosterone of where it's coming or whatever. I think that's what affects it. So luckily for me, I don't have to deal with that. Moods. So if you're very moody, like if you have a spouse or a friend in a non-joking way saying, dude, you're acting, you kind of sound like a woman, like the way you're acting, that means your estrogen's probably really high, which will affect a lot of things too. And like for guys physically, it's like man boobs. And I don't mean like because you're overweight, I'm talking like you'll know the difference. Like you see the difference. So I forgot the technical term, but you can Google it and you'll see it. Those are the big things like sleep, mood, drive, like not even like sex drive, just like,
Right, like wanting to do anything.
yeah, you're just like, man. And that's what it is. It mirrors and is depression, but more than likely your depression is stemming from something.
Right, your depression is the side effect.
Yeah, and no one wants to say that, man. No one wants to say that. Like the depression is the disease. It's like, nah, a headache. Headache isn't a disease. You get it from something. You know?
And it's funny that you it's fun, not funny, but it funny. It's funny that you bring this up because I've been doing some research with the whole low T stuff, and some of the guys that I follow on like Instagram and stuff like that, like Cody, anyway, but I've kind of gone down the path with trying to do some research on that because there is not a doubt in my mind that I have low T as
So
well.
here's the problem. And I know there's a big personality. He was in the Marine Corps. I think he knew some of the people were in Nick, some Greek last name.
Oh
Nick
yeah,
starts with a
I know
K.
you're talking about.
Him and another dude, they were Raiders or whatever. They have like their own hairline.
Yeah, they
There's no spot or whatever. Like, yeah, there's
the
nothing wrong.
friend runs Johnny Slicks.
Yes, there's
I know what
no.
you're talking about.
We're not. I'm going to speak for Cole here. We're not promoting it. We're not doing anything. We're just aware of what's out there. So one thing he is very correct upon, if you go through the VA, you're not going to get any unless you're like very, very low. And the problem with testosterone, it's like specific to every
Well, it
person.
has to be right. It has to be maintained, and it's specific to your body and everything.
Let's say, and this is why I liked it, because he did like a podcast. I remember watching this, kind of what got me down this path. And I was like, I wouldn't think about that. Let's say you were normally operating at like, I think let's just say it goes up to 1,000, right? Let's say, and 1,000 is like peak for some people, right? Let's say your whole life you've been like around 6 and you've been riding perfect. Then all of a sudden something happened. Now you're like 4 or 3. Well, the VA isn't going to give you any unless you're like 2 or 1 or lower. And they're not even going to,
Or negative.
and they're not going to do anything for you, right? But you need help, or you want help, or something. So like I would get lab work done. You're gonna pay the money, they're gonna tell you something. Just if you went in and said something, they're gonna probably, especially depending on your rating, I think if you're 50 or higher, you could probably request it. It's not gonna whatever. But I don't know all the breakdowns. But go request lab work. You're probably, if you have to pay for it, I would suggest paying for it, because the way I look at it is I would like least like to know what's going on, and then go from there, like make your own decisions. And like everyone, there's enough research out there now where, and I can say this because it's the truth, if you're going to start the injection route, you will have to always take them. Like you'll have to take them to maintain, because it's one of those things. So like if you can't do it naturally or find a level that gets you going naturally. But if you stop, it's not like you're gonna It's just going to slowly go back to, if you stop when you're 60 or whatever it is, you're going to go down to whatever it's going to be. I doubt you're going to need the same level when you're that old. You might. I don't know. No one knows. But like, I think it's kind of prominent what I've been trying to say, and I'm sure Cole is too. Just do your research.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like I would definitely.
But there's good things. Pull on a thread. Like, just
Right.
pull on a thread and see where it goes.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, definitely do your research. Like I said, I've done a little bit of the research, but nothing to like what you've done. So kudos to you for taking the time to find out and hopefully figure out what is going to work for you and help you. But yeah, like definitely do your research, definitely talk to somebody, talk to a freaking medical professional or something about it. If it's not at the VA, talk to somebody, like if you have a secondary means of getting, medical advice, like a second opinion or something like that. Or if you don't utilize the VA for your medical care, but you have, medical insurance, so you can go anywhere to get your medical care or whatever. Definitely, talk to a medical provider or a medical person and figure out what's going on. But yeah, like I don't think, I mean, you're within your right to want to know what's going on with your body,
You can do it the shady way, which, whatever, but find one of these companies that are like the top or whatever, and say you think you have level. We know what they're going to do. They're going to set you up. You have to get a blood draw. So they'll set you up with that. They want your business. So you're more than likely going to pay a lower lab fee, or they might just say, hey, there's like, which they're not lying. The labs are expensive as hell, but they might be like, oh yeah, free consult and maybe like $100 or $200 thing or whatever. Do it. They'll give you the info, listen to their spiel, and then maybe you're like, okay, yeah, let's do this. Or, oh, I'm gonna go explore my other options. Just get
Well, second opinion.
the information you need and then go from there. Like, I'm not saying go to like, Jimbo Joe's, blood draw bank,
We don't want you to go to Mexico to
yeah,
get the
People's Emporium,
testosterone. Oh man.
I think that's our problem is guys kind of overthink stuff, or we tend to overthink to in action, like you
Well,
don't do anything.
I think men, I mean, I think men are, oh,
Yeah,
I'm a
nothing
man.
here.
I can figure that I can do this on my own. You know what I mean? Like,
No.
no.
We're not designed as human beings to do anything by ourselves.
Right.
Like, you might
So,
think you can, you might think you'd be might good at something by yourself, but at the end of the day, like, we are made to do things with someone else in a tribe. Like, it's, you need more than you. Like, no matter what it is, you need more than you.
All right, brother. Well, I can't believe that we've been talking for almost 2 hours.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to get in trouble.
I think this was an awesome conversation, dude. Like, I really, really, really do appreciate you sitting down and talking with me.
Yeah, man, no problem.
Do you have anything else, any closing remarks or anything that you want to share or anything like that before we end it?
No, man, like there's so much to talk about. So, like, then this type of thing you're doing, which is great. You could always invite me or other people back. Like you said, you want to do something, so you can have someone interview you or or one of whatever it may be. So, just like before, dude, you want to. Something going on, you hit me up, talk about the same stuff, different stuff, don't matter, man. I go to run it past the wife and then work it out.
I gotcha. Yeah, no, dude, I really do. The plan is to do like follow-up interviews, a little bit later on down the road. 'Cause again, like I'm still figuring this whole thing out. But like I said, overall, I think the overall consensus is positive so far, and that's what this is for. Like I told my brother, like my heart's in the right spot, like all I want to do is try to help people and help guys and girls and veterans realize that it's okay to talk to somebody.
Putting yourself out there, man. It's kind of what this is about, dude.
Yeah. And this is therapy for me, because
100%, man.
I never in a million years would think that I would be any good at doing this type of stuff. You know what I mean? So this is helping me out, kind of come out of my shell and put myself out there, like you said. So yeah, and
I
couldn't
will
do it
say,
without you guys.
with the one last, you made me think of something. It's like one of the last things. That is kind of what got me through boot camp, is that person can do it. That person did it, looking at like a drill instructor, because one of my
Yeah.
drones was like, I'm not even joking, like 5'1", 5'2",
Yeah.
like a clear foot shorter
I
than me.
feel like that is because I had a drill instructor that
Right?
was like 4'9". He
They
was
were.
like 4'9", 5'1".
They're the scariest ones. Like,
Yeah.
honestly, I'll take the biggest wall brick man of anything over the
Yeah.
tiger.
The
But
little ones are the scary ones.
the point I'm getting at, though, is like a lot of people do this.
Yeah.
So to have, like, why can't you? It's just like,
Yeah.
why can't I?
Yep.
So,
100%.
man,
Yep.
stick with it, man. I think you got something going here. So.
Thank you. I appreciate it, brother. I appreciate it. And again, thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time out of your hectic schedule to sit down with me and to have this conversation and to open up and share your story. This is Cole Johnson with Mojo with Kojo. Tony, thanks again. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Yeah, man. Take it easy.
Later.